At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome to the Waterfowl Wednesday edition of the Full Scale Outdoor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick Johnson, and joined, as always, with Dale Luganville. How you doing, Dale?
What's up, Nick? Good.
Not much is going on over here. I'm just selling a house and buying a house, and I'm about to pull my damn pubes out. I'm so frustrated.
I feel that's a little extreme, but I mean, I think I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Actually, the process has been pretty easy for me, I'm not gonna lie, but your head gets spinning with all those numbers floating around, and you're just like, all right, just everybody take everything till I have no money left, I guess, fuck it.
Yeah, pretty much it. And then you gotta sign this, and then you gotta sign that, and initial here, and then sign here, and initial here, 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 and here, sign this, and you're like, oh, okay, great, that was irritating. Well, that was the first stack of papers, so here, sign here, initial here. It's like, oh my god, can I just give you money and you give me keys like pretty much any other thing I buy.
Right, yeah.
Like, hey, I'd like to have that Snickers. Okay, great. We need 3 forms of ID. Let's think, Jesus.
We got to take out this couple $1,000. Do you understand why we're doing that? Like, no? Okay, moving on.
I mean,
that's perfect.
Oh, you
that's
don't? Perfect, oh, okay, Mr. great. Johnson. So we're taking out these $10,000. Yeah, exactly. No, well, that's good. Are you excited for your new abode?
Yeah. Sure. It's New Richmond, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Well, geez, you should be.
So it's going to be quite a departure from living in Fridley, Minnesota.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Keeping your same place of employment?
No, I'm actually not. I don't know if I've even said this on the podcast or outside of like close circles, I guess.
Well, you haven't
but
said
I'm
any
not. I am. I actually took a full-time job working in Saskatchewan this fall and next spring and next fall.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to be working at Prairie Limits Outfitters in Neilburg, Saskatchewan.
That's pretty dope.
That is pretty dope.
Very cool.
So I will be up there September and October, and then in November I will be returning back to my home in New Richmond, and I'm going to be probably running some hunts over there.
Right on.
I haven't found a lodge or priced it out. I have found a lodge. I haven't negotiated with the lodge owner yet, though. I mean, it's swanky. It is a super, super swanky spot. But I don't want to charge $1,500 a guy for 3-day packages, you know?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you want to. That. I don't know that it would sell, but I mean, you want to.
I will. The finer hunts in life are usually worth the price.
Right, yeah.
And a nice lodge sure is nice.
That's pretty awesome. I'll come be the full-time cook. I'll be camp cook.
Where you want to be? Because I'd probably need one.
I could. It'd be fun.
I was thinking about hiring a cook, if that all worked out, or if, you know, like, what would guys think if I had meals catered? Obviously, catering is probably more expensive than just paying a guy a good amount of money to cook for us for 3 days.
For sure. Sure. I'm in for cook, man. That'd be fun. I've sort of always thrown that idea around, like other places. Like, I don't necessarily need to be out in the field hunting, you know, make some bomb breakfast and sandwiches for lunch, bring in food, cook up some wild game. Hell yeah, that'd be bomb. Well, that's pretty exciting news.
Yeah, so I've committed to doing that the next few years.
We're getting into short term, mid term, and long term goals with Nick Johnson. We definitely picked a good spot. I was when you first just said New Richmond, I'm like, all right, well, you know, keep a couch open. I'm gonna be crashing at your house.
Yeah, swing on by. I'm gonna be unemployed.
we'll play video games in the basement.
And this money, I'm distracted. My computer keeps saying, like, my sound is, like, redlining out. Do you think it's going to sound like shit?
Sounds okay on my end, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you're not listening to it through my recording.
Right, exactly.
Well, if it sounds like shit, we might have to use the recording then, like on your phone.
Yep, I always record that channel.
Wonder why it's doing that. Just in anyways, case. I will be unemployed, so swing on out and trying to figure out how to make money.
Well, guided hunts should work. It's definitely in a good spot.
Yeah, and one thing about being out there is you need to be licensed.
Right.
Which so is why does... I'm...
Go ahead.
It's why I'm making the move out there. Because Minnesota's kind of a free-for-all, as in there's no licensing required for guide operations.
Right.
And Wisconsin, there is. There is licensing, and the license structure is weird because there's one stipulation to it that's going to get most people not eligible for being a guide there. That is, you have to be a resident.
Right. So
anybody who works as a guide, a hunting guide in Wisconsin, has to be a Wisconsin resident. That's why I'm moving out there.
Cool.
And, you know, like if I wanted Joe to come out and run some hunts out there, I couldn't. Or if I wanted you to come out and help me run a group of guys, I can't. So it would be a guide service operation that kind of really goes back to my roots of guiding, like who taught me how to guide, like Phil Schmidt doing small group, me being the scout, the lodge operator, the guide, I mean, a one-man band type of thing.
Right, yeah, that's pretty crazy. So how, you know, that's one thing you don't see is a lot of Wisconsin waterfowl outfitters. And it must just be that reason. But you would think somebody, you know, that lives in Wisconsin would have already done that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know of a single one.
No, there's nobody in that area that guides. There is one guy. I don't know if he still does it. But it was just a one person operation. And, yeah, that was several years ago. He used to advertise on Craigslist. His name was Matt's Guided Hunts. And he advertised, he had like 100 Green Edgear decoys and, provided fresh coffee every morning for like $125. I mean, sounds like a pretty good deal.
Just perusing realtor.com here for Wisconsin properties real quick. No, I'm just
gonna set up as my competition.
That's right. Listen, we'll have the corner on the market. That'll be great. That would be that's pretty exciting, I must say. So
yeah, what it's exciting, it's scary.
Oh yeah, that's always good. I like when people take these kind of chances though. That's a lot better than, you know, oh, I'm on my way to my boring job, I hate.
Yeah. I'm coming up on 17 years at my boring job.
Wow.
Yeah, and I hate it so much that I'm fucking moving to Wisconsin and Oof. Taking a job with no benefits and way less pay and saying, I hope I figure it out from there.
Well,
the goose will provide.
Build it and they will come, as the movie
That's
says.
That's how much I fucking hate my job.
Well, here's what I know about those jobs y'all hate. It'll still be there waiting for you. That's how you know it's okay to leave it. Because it's like,
yeah,
it's not the move you should be making, because I mean, it's by staying, because it's just the shit jobs will always be there, man. They always will.
Sure. And I guess another waterfall news. I went to the Ultimate Waterfallers Challenge banquet last Friday. That was sweet, man. That really is an impressive organization. Like, all these guys fly in, and Dan Winterland asked me to do a presentation on, we did a waterfall trivia just as an entertainment section. And then I did a presentation on tungsten super shot for all these trophy hunter dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. It's kind of a cool organization, cause there's an automatic icebreaker whenever you're in the room with anybody. Like, hey, what's your name? Like, yeah, it's Bill. Like, oh, how far in the challenge are you, Bill? Like, cause everybody has a number, like, of how many of the 41 species they've got.
Right.
Like, I'm at 18, you know, and like, they give you a sweet, like, trophy when you get to like 15, and then they give you another one when you get to like 35. And then when you get all 41, they give you this sick ass, like, King Eider trophy. So everybody in there there's really good, like, rapport and camaraderie, I'd say, between everybody. And my, I was a little bit worried about doing like a tungsten super shot presentation in front of like 100 people, 100 plus people, like, while they eat dinner. And like, I had dense graphs and, you know, like, energies at certain distances for certain pellets type graphs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing my presentation, and like 10 minutes into it, I realized like everybody in the room was just hyper focused on me. Like, there wasn't a fork clanging or anything. Oh, wow. I was like, dang, this actually went pretty well. Hell yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I saw that you saw some fuzzballs switching topics.
Yeah, I did. And I've only seen one group down here on the Zumbro River. So I was going to talk about that, see what your opinions are. So I'll look out this window right now. And of course, they're not there. You bastards. I wonder where they went. So all day, there's been like a group of, I'd say, 10 geese down there. And they appear to be paired up, but they're all kind of together. And there's zero babies.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one pair that's always by themselves, and they have the babies. So I guess I'm just assuming that those are non-breeding adults.
You know Maybe. What I mean? Unless they might just have nests too.
Yeah, but they're like, they're always there. Like, they're never on the nest. So that would be pretty surprising.
That'd be an awesome way to raise kids. Just never there.
Just never there. I know, it works out pretty good. You can ask my kids. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, they definitely like act like they're paired up, but they're not doing any actual like breeding or nesting behavior. So I don't know
if you've
witnessed anything like that yourself.
I have not seen any ducklings or goose goslings yet. Gooselings.
And I haven't actually seen the little fuzzballs today. I don't know where mom and dad took them, but I have not seen them yet today.
What the fuck?
So unless I got
you. Okay, I just went to eBird. I just went to eBird, and I was going to punch in Canada geese, Minnesota on pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get that far. I just punched in Minnesota. So I'm just looking at all bird pictures for Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Fucking a five-pack of black-bellied whistling ducks is right there.
What? It
says May 2nd, Highland Lake Park Reserve, Minnesota, Hennepin County, United States. What? That is for sure a five-pack of black-bellied whistling ducks.
What the hell are they doing up here?
As found by Ron Cord's.
No, I don't see him.
Photos.
See, I'm not doing it the right way. You went to Explore Regions. Where did you go to?
I go to Explore Photos and Sounds.
Explore.
Keep scrolling down.
Okay. Oh,
there's two bars
search,
where you can
search photos and sounds.
Yeah. And then I put in Filters Minnesota. Oh. And then, like, I was about to put in Mallard, or I was about to put in Canada Goose to see if we could find any babies.
Well, this has species. I don't think I'm in the right place. Oh, location. Never mind. I'm an idiot.
But before I even punched in a species, I just changed the location to Minnesota. So every picture from Minnesota just pops up. If anybody's looking where these things are, they're on this, basically the southeast corner of...
Wow, there they are. What the shit?
494 and 169. Like, if I were to... East Bush Lake Beach. The pin drop is like, yeah, there's pretty much Bush Lake Park Picnic Shelter number 3 is very close by. I guess the best way to pinpoint exactly where these are, go to eBird, go to Explore, scroll down to Explore Photos and Sounds, and then look at filter out to Minnesota.
What in the heck? Why are they here? That's nuts.
I don't know, but like, those things are just expanding, dude.
Clearly, I feel like they made a big jump. Like Florida, Texas, and Minnesota. Nothing in between.
Right.
Like, what?
You remember, like, one of them showed up in Hutchinson? Like, one of them showed up in Hutchinson 5 years ago, probably, and I guess birders everywhere went there.
I don't remember that. That's pretty cool.
Here's a shoveler. Hmm. A bunch of mergansers.
I saw some really good shovelers.
A bunch of redheads.
Day.
Hooded mergansers. Common mergansers. Swans. The fuck is that? A horned grebe? That thing's fucking cool looking.
Oh, those. Oh no, that's a western grebe. I was thinking of the ones that they stand up in there, do that kind of crazy little water dance.
Yeah, dude, but I get these ABA rare bird alerts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is from yesterday. ABA rare bird alert. Nothing. It says there's a tufted duck in Ontario and Quebec.
Well, somebody needs Nothing. To enter those black bellies in there.
No shit. I wonder if they'll pop up here. That said that was May 2nd. That was yesterday. So maybe they won't pop up until tomorrow or today or something. When I get my report.
Hmm.
Well, shit. There's some black-bellied whistling ducks in the metro. And if you want to see a black-bellied whistling duck, go as soon as you hear this. Like, take a detour from work.
Leave now.
If you can get to this park to see one, like, see one. They're cool as shit.
So
they're one of the most, like, charismatic-looking ducks that they've got these big, giant, long, stupid legs and these big pink stupid bills, and they got this stupid look on their face. They're just adorable.
I want to know, like, where do you think they're going? Are they just going to be here all?
I don't know, because
you know what I mean.
I
just
have
be here all summer. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think so, because anytime I see a report that is a black-bellied whistling duck, and I've seen them in like Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin has had some. Minnesota has had like that one in Hutchinson that we were talking about. And they're never there long. All the reports are there for like 4 days, 5 days, a week. Maybe they like just sit there for a week and they're like, you know what? We did fuck up. We are not in Texas.
I'm scrolling through these pictures. There's this white-faced ibis, which that's another species that you don't usually think of, like northern climates.
Yeah, and now I've got my species narrowed down to just mallard, and I see no fuzzballs in this at all. Hmm. Not yet. Let me punch in Canada goose.
I feel like
if we got any
little
we gotta have
ducks,
right? Dude, I'm still not even seeing anything.
Jeez, apparently I need to take pictures of these guys and post them up.
I've been checking dead birds on the side of the road quite a bit. There seems to be a lot of dead waterfowl this year. No, of course. I've never found one. I've never, ever found a band on a dead bird before. And I bite, you know, around quite a bit around the metro here. Like, I got opportunities to check them. I'm not driving back, like, by them too fast. I can pull over on my bike and check them. Like, I've never, ever found a band. And I love those videos.
Oh, they're the best.
I know I get them, and Joe gets more than I do, because sometimes I get the same one that Joe posts, but sometimes he gets one that I didn't get. I fucking love watching those. Like, the shock and the joy in people's voices when they're like, all right, well, just going to check this out. The wife is pissed off at me now, like, and then runs out. They're like, no fucking way.
Yeah, it is pretty wicked. And it's like,
it just brings me happiness.
And honestly, like, to up people's chances, you need to be checking, like, non-game species, too, like the hawks and stuff you see, because they ban those things. Like, I think that would be a super cool ban to get, would be on a hawk or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, because what is your other option of getting one? There isn't one. Like, you can't legally shoot them, so it's like, I don't know, that'd be pretty sweet.
Maybe don't, like... Don't, like, try to hit that bald eagle, like, sitting on that roadkill deer. Like, boom! Band or no band?
You're out there, like, with your binoculars.
Like, bro, we can see the bald eagle feathers in your grill.
Band,
like,
hunting.
When you did that. Band hunting with my truck.
Like, okay, there's a banded bald eagle on this stretch. I'm just going to go back and forth. Oops, I spilled a couple crappies on the shoulder. those should be fine.
That's hilarious.
Not giving anybody any ideas here. I've checked two dead pelicans and no bands yet.
Pelican bands out there for sure.
Yeah. I've seen them on actual live birds, but not yet to... Well, I mean, how often you run into a dead pelican? The fact that I've seen two of them is pretty amazing. The only person I know.
Now you got me curious.
About what?
About pelican bands.
How many banded pelicans there are in Minnesota?
Yeah, let's see how many they banned.
Well, there's definitely more and more pelicans every year. I was just fishing yesterday, and there was shit tons of them.
What's their name? What's their, like, common name?
White pelican.
Is it white?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, dude, if you go into the band, there's a million species that you have to scroll through. And it's definitely not under pelican. So white ibis, white tern, white wagtail,
American,
whooper swan.
American white pelican.
It's American white pelican? Well, now I got to go all the way back up to A. American avocet, black duck, American coot, American crow. Oh, fuck, there's a lot of American stuff. American widgeon, American white pelican, right there, bang. All right, here we go.
What are you looking on for that?
This is the summaries of banding and encounter data. I put a link to this in my Snapchat like a week ago, and I said bookmark this one. So you can just look up all species and... you can get band counts and encounters. So this is, I'm looking up American white pelican, United States, Minnesota, from 1960 to 2022. I just clicked get counts. Okay, here we go. Damn! Okay, so they haven't been banned in them very recently. Probably because of COVID or something, but 2019 they got 500 on them, but 2018 it says zero, 2017 849, and this, I'm just gonna go, well, here, from 2014 to 2017 they got 382, 477, 982, 849. Okay, but from 1998 until 2010, so that's 12 years straight, they did over 2,000
Wow.
every year. There's a couple years they got 1,500. Okay, and fuck, then 1997, there's a 0 year. But 1996 to 1988, again, over 2,000. So there's like, yeah.
So the bandings count, is that when they're putting them on? And then bandings and count, encounters count is when they've, like, recaptured?
An encounter, yeah, is any encounter, like a recapture or you found one.
Yeah,
you found it dead. Or even, like, somebody down at, you know, a park ended up getting the numbers and reporting it. Just any encounter. It's not a death. It's just somebody reporting it. Look at how low the encounters are.
Yeah. It's really not great.
Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you found the you found the website?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's pretty
fucking
cool.
Fucking awesome.
Huh. Now I want to know, like, we're just going, like, doesn't even matter. You can't hunt white pelicans. Why do we even care?
Because they die places. And you can get metal detectors from a rental, like a rental store, and then go to where, like, the islands that they all hoard up on and die all the time. And, like, go out there and find them with a metal detector and a plastic shovel.
I want to know what the population
and then sell them on eBay.
Of them is in Minnesota. Minnesota, they're estimated to be about 22,000 pairs of pelicans.
So that's 44,000 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And they banded 2,000 of them 10 years ago. Your chances are low.
They banded 60,000 of them since 1960.
That would be, I mean, I got to assume that's probably the biggest band they make. Those birds are huge. Probably
this website,
probably
though,
the same size same size as a swan, I suppose, like the leg band.
Yeah. This this website though, the USGS summaries of banding and data, or banding and encounter data. This little gem of a website has just made so many conversation starters for me. Like somebody like will be like, "Ah, yeah, I'm from North Dakota. They didn't band any geese in where I'm from." They didn't band any geese in North Dakota last year. Oh, yeah? Let's find out.
I can tell you this. Your chances of finding a banded pelican, substantially greater than finding a banded coot.
Yeah?
In Minnesota, at least.
Pull it up.
I did. It's dismal.
Well, how many coots are we banding every year?
Not many. 2014 is the last one they have listed here, and there was two.
Damn! Yeah, that's not great.
Apparently, we know all we need to know about coots. nobody's excited about coots.
All right, so I'm going to pull up large Canada goose. Now, this is a hot tip if you're using the summaries of banding and encounter data. There's two types of Canada geese. And sometimes states use one type of them, and sometimes they use the other. But, there's large Canada goose and there's Canada goose. If you're in like the lower 48 and you're banding geese in July or June, you should be putting the species under large Canada goose, right? It's a temperate nesting large Canada goose.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes they list it under Canada goose, just the biologist or whatever. So you're going to have, if you really want to know how many Canada geese got banded, check large and regular Canada geese. But here's 2021 for every state. I can pull up and Wisconsin got 4,300, Tennessee got 2,300, Missouri got 2,500, Minnesota got 2,500, Michigan 4,200. Iowa was the winner in 2021, got 4,462. I think a lot of those were black bands.
Hmm.
Illinois 4,000. So it's like you either didn't do any because of COVID, I'm assuming, or you got a couple few thousand.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you can get lost in this website, can't you?
Yeah, you sure can.
There's not many Sandhill Crane bands out there either, but they are out there.
No, where do those get encountered the most? The most encounters I think are New Mexico. Am I wrong or right? No. Utah. Yeah, don't tell me. Actually, tell me.
I don't know. How do I know where it says the most are? I don't know how to navigate this thing. I'm still looking in Minnesota.
So in 2022, nobody's banded a large Canada goose yet. That's updated in this system. There was 655 encounters in Illinois, which I'm going to guess are a lot of color markers in Cook County or Chicago, because those where all the neck collars are and all the tarsal bands, they end up in the Chicago. And they also, their season runs past January 1.
Let's go get some of those. Those would be cool.
Some bread and some pliers.
Mm-hmm. How's your lassoing skills?
Oh, dude, I've been working on them. Perfect. Now that I have this little yipper dog.
There you go.
Yeah, bought me a cowboy rope. About strangled the thing to death a few times.
And assless chaps. Those weren't needed, but great excuse to get a pair.
Absolutely. Bro, we've been talking for 30 minutes already.
I know, it's cool.
How does the time fly by?
So it is, man.
Well, this has been Nick and Dale's eBird adventure.
That's right. You can have your own adventure if you have a computer. That is. Take your own virtual safari.
We've been doing that a lot, but I don't care because I fucking love looking at eBird. Any excuse to pull open eBird. Dude, we found out that there was black-bellied whistling ducks in Minnesota this week.
And we found out your chances of getting a banded pelican are far greater than that of a coot and of a sandhill crane. And
so shoot those pelicans.
Get after them. Get after them walleye-eating bastards.
Nobody in a public area would ever notice you doing that.
No.
Like just shooting a white, pure white, gorgeous pterodactyl out of the sky.
I'll say this. I bet we're not far away from some chatter in the on the Facebook world or the forums about when can we hunt these pelicans? They're eating all of our walleyes, because there are more and more pelicans every year.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I suppose people care about them walleyes a lot.
Oh man, to the point where they were shooting, they had DNR sharpshooters were on like Leech Lake and are sniping off cormorants because they were blaming them for eating all their walleyes.
Really?
Yeah, walleye fishermen are the worst. They're just like,
that makes me wonder how close we are to an open an open season on cormorants, because the back in the Trump administration, they made it easier to get to that point.
Mm.
And if they have sharpshooters out, like usually the next step is going to be letting the public go to fucking town.
I'm just gonna look up real quick if they're still doing those. In Minnesota, because I haven't heard anything about them in a long time.
What, shooting cormorants?
Yeah. Cormorant calls in Minnesota.
Well, I'll use this opportunity to remind everybody that we still have a lot of time before September 1st, the weekend or opener weekend of goose hunting, to get your skills up to an impress your buddies level. If you download the Goose Tech app and start grinding away at it, there will be no better benefit. Me and Joe Heinz love to say this. There's nothing more important to goose hunting than improving your goose calling abilities. It's not buying decoys. It's not obviously you can't goose call geese into the desert. So location's a little bit important, but I need to be good at goose calling to accomplish what I do. I wouldn't kill a goose on 9 out of 10 of my hunts if I couldn't goose call. Because I just like hunting weird situations, public land. Guys, get the Goose Tech app. Reach out to me. I want to help you. I want to help coach you along. Get you to that point where you are responsible for making sick-ass memories with your friends and family. And they're all impressed with, you calling in birds. And then they get to have all the fun killing them.
Brought to you by
the Goose Tech app.
The Goose Tech app.
Get the Goose Tech app. Tell your buddies. Start practicing with your buddies. Get a team going. Meet up every Tuesday night. Watch YouTube hunting videos. Play around with the Goose Tech app. Watch YouTube instructionals. Watch Scott Trinan's The Roost. He's got a bunch of good instructionals. Get good at goose calling, damn it.
You'll get more dead birds at your feet, that's for sure.
A lot. By a lot. And when we say at your feet, we mean landing at your feet.
You can just beat them over the head with your save that expensive TSS ammo for those long shots. Don't waste it on 15-yard shots. The cormorant calling in Minnesota. So the most recent, I have an article here. It was 2017. Wildlife managers seek to regain authority to kill problem cormorants. So they must have lost the ability to do it for whatever reason. In 2017, they were trying to do it again. So I don't know if we've been successful at that. But yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll go for that again, but that Trump made it easier, because that is it is pretty hard to get the green light for that. Anything that's not already considered a game bird.
Right. Migratory bird is protected by the migratory or by the.
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah. Migratory Bird Treaty.
Correct. International Migratory Act of 1877.
All of them, even ducks and geese.
Right. Yeah, everything. Yeah, even the stuff you can kill. Anything that migrates across international boundaries is covered under that act.
Right, and like there's like a special provision that like if we meet certain requirements, then you can hunt ducks and geese. Like, that's why they do the surveys and stuff, because mm-hmm. that's part of those requirements.
Yep, that's where your federal framework comes from, is branch off of that.
You ever notice how they're really they're doing a lot of, like, woodcock and snipe and rail studies these days? Hmm. It's because, like, 20 years ago, the antis figured out that they could sue the government, that they did not have an idea of, like, what the current population was of those species, and antis figured out they could shut the seasons down.
Dirty bastards.
Because if the government doesn't have the information, they can't conduct a season because they're covered under the Migratory Bird Treaty. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Just more factoids.
Dirty rat bastards.
All right, buddy. Damn. Well, is our sponsor?
Again, this week, we still have Cutthroat Bow Fishing, which I'm actually going to be joining Nolan this weekend. They are apparently desperate for a fill-in for a tournament they're doing Saturday night, so that's what I'll be doing. I'm not good at it. I'll just be the first to admit. I mean, I'd never do it. Like, I would love to do it more often,
takes,
but
like some skill because the water reflects the light.
Correct.
So you're not like aiming directly at what you see.
Yep, you gotta aim below them.
Yeah, Connor Lausch explained it to me. He said mm-hmm. those. Deeper it is, the lower you aim.
Yep. And so I convinced, we'll have to set it up, but I took a little doing, but I convinced Joe to give it a try someday. And he was much like you, very right out of the gate, like, dude, I fucking hate bows. That's what he said. He's like, first time someone went bow hunting, I had the release was wrong or something. Pulled it halfway back, I snapped, punched myself in the face or something. He said, he's like, and they stink. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't use release on these. They're set way, 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 way lower on the poundage. And also, you can't tell me that Canada geese don't stink too. He's like,
yeah,
that's
fair. But Canada geese aren't slimy and wet.
True, true. It depends on how long you leave them in the back of your truck.
Jesus.
But yes, if anybody would like to try bow hunting, if you've never done it, because I do think I do feel like there's a weird commonality with waterfowl hunters and bow fishing, because it really is the fishing part of that term is just because they actually are fish. Like, it is definitely more hunting than it is fishing, and it's a riot, dude. It's a ton of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I think you should try it, not necessarily kill anything, but just like you could just watch the lights. Like, it's pretty exciting, and you get to see a lot of cool ducks and geese up close at night when you spook them with those big lights. It's pretty cool. So get a hold of Cutthroat.
That does kind of sound cool. That is like how a lot of market hunters used to kill ducks and geese. Mm-hmm. They put out a little bait pile, and then they creep up with their like
punt guns,
lantern spotlights, and punt guns. Whoosh, in the middle of the night.
Yep. Whack. All right, we can go to the meat market and pick up some camisbacks tomorrow at the store. Great. Yeah, so anyways, he's on
Facebook,
Cutthroat Bow Fishing. Check him out. Until next week.
All right. Well, until next week, man.
Bye.
Thanks later.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Oh, that's awesome!
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.